You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Can't Stop, Won't Stop. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. I'm glad that you're here, and we're in a series called Can't Stop, Won't Stop. And I just want to throw a little disclaimer out there. You know, when we do series here at New Point, what you really need to understand is it's basically a letter written to us, okay? The Apostle Paul would write letters to the church in Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae and on down the line. And so these series are basically writing a letter to us, addressing specific things that we're all facing and dealing with. And so for you to only hear one message is not good, because you're going to probably draw the wrong conclusions. Well, what about this? He didn't address that. What about that? And what happens is you're only reading a part of the letter. And so what I want to encourage you to do, because we're dealing with some sensitive stuff, what I want you to do is be sure to read the whole letter. And so if you haven't been here, you know, I want to encourage you to download the podcast. If you've missed one, download it and get all of it, because what happens is one is connecting to the other. And so I just want to encourage you. You know, anytime we're sharing here, we're sharing pieces that connect. And so I just want to help you with that, and I'm glad you're here. So today, we want to continue in this series called Can't Stop, Won't Stop. And we're talking about developing a certain type of attitude. We're talking about developing a reservoir of resilience. Why? Because life isn't fair. I don't know what your week was like, but I needed to have a can't stop, won't stop attitude this past week because of just the challenges of life. And 9 chances out of 10, guess what? I'm going to need a can't stop, won't stop attitude this coming week. Because Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble, you will have heartaches, you will have setbacks, you'll have disappointments, you'll have tragedies, all of that. And so I would be a fool to know that that's on the arise for me and not prepare for it and not be ready for it and not develop a can't stop, won't stop attitude. And so we need to be able to realize that. And so today, what we want to look at is getting past the past. Getting past the past. And I want to talk about repairing your past, because resilient people run free of the weight of the past. And here's what I mean by that. I mean being able to be free from everything that has happened in your past and my past. That's what we want to talk about today. Now, here's what I know about you, and here's what I know about me. You ready for this? We all have a past. I got a past. You have a past. And we just have to embrace that. And if you've lived any amount of time here on planet Earth, you know that. You know that all of us have a past. And so what happens is, what I mean by that is, we all carry with us memories and experiences from yesterday that influences us, even to this day right now. From our birth up to this very present day, you've had experiences, I've had experiences that influence us even today. And they can dominate our relationships. They definitely influence our choices. They have an impact on our view of ourselves as well as our view of God. And if your past is in good shape, if you have taken the time to repair it, if you've taken the time to get past it, then it can provide tremendous strength and tremendous stamina and courage and focus for you. But if you haven't gotten past your past, then it can wreak havoc and chaos and confusion in your life. And people who have a can't stop, won't stop attitude, they know this. This is why people with a can't stop, won't stop attitude, this is why they know it is so important that I get past my past. Otherwise, it's going to drag me down. Otherwise, it's going to weigh me down. And I personally don't believe, okay, I personally don't believe that you and I can be spiritually and emotionally healthy unless we have repaired our past. And that's the struggle with many of us. We've never gone there. And I want to take you there today. Is that okay? I want to help you. Because I want you to be able to develop a reservoir, an attitude of can't stop, won't stop. So that what happens is you can flourish in life. And what happens is your past and my past is too powerful. It's too powerful not to repair. And you might say, well, what do you mean by my past? Well, I mean dealing with those relationships that are still wounded and hurtful and painful. Dealing with regrets, choices that maybe you've made, choices that I've made. Again, you know, I've told you this. I don't understand people who tell me, well, I don't have any regrets. I'd do it all the same. Really? We're going to talk about that today, okay? Because I have regrets. And I think in our honest moment, we would all say, you know what? I have a few regrets. And it's influencing us and impacting us greater than what we realize. It's letting go of those negative feelings that you have towards someone who maybe didn't give you what you needed or wanted or expected. Or maybe they even betrayed you in a relationship. You see, to ignore this or to neglect this basically means that you're carrying weight that God never wants you to carry. And your life will deteriorate. Your life will not be all that God wants it to be and really has paid for it to be. And so what happens is, if we don't deal with those things, I like to say they're like sleeper cells. Okay? They're like sleeper cells. They sleep in your system and my system, and then what happens is we have a conversation with somebody, or somebody says something, or something happens at work, or something happens at home, or something happens in exchange, and guess what? These sleeper cells in us awaken. Woo! And what happens is we either say something, we do something that, you know what, many times later we regret. And these unrepaired issues in my life and your life, if we're not intentional, they show up in our marriage. They show up in our work habits. They show up in our view of self, of how we view ourselves, not to mention our view of God. And so here's what I want you to get. An unrepaired past never goes away. It never goes away. If I don't deal with my past, here's what I want us to know, okay? It's present. And it's affecting everything in your life right now. And it speaks up at the most inconvenient times in our life. And so an unrepaired past can have a tremendous impact on me and you in a negative way that will keep you and I from having a can't stop, won't stop mindset. And if we don't have a can't stop, won't stop mindset, we'll never have this vigorous life that God wants for you and for me. And so resilient people understand the importance of repairing the past. Now, look at this verse with me. It's from Hebrews, all right? And by the way, you can follow along in your note-taking guide or you can download it on your app, and I encourage you to do this, all right? But here's what the Hebrew writer writes. And he's in chapter 11, and you can read this. He lists all these people, and you and I would call them heroes of the faith. But they all had to deal with a past. Read it. I'm telling you, the great thing about the Bible is it tells you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, okay? And you see in Hebrews chapter 11 a list of broken people, of broken people. And then he says these powerful words. He says, in light of what I just said, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Everything that hinders us. Attitudes, appetites, actions, hurts, habits, hang-ups. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. All of us here today, we deal with sin. And there's a sin that all of us find ourselves easily entangled with. It could be pride, could be lust, could be gossip. I mean, we could go on, but there's a sin that all of us battle, and it just seems to be constantly at the forefront of you and me. It's like, you know, what do they say? Opportunity knocks once, temptation leans on the doorbell. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about that sin that constantly is there for you and I to give in. And he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Let us run with a can't stop, won't stop attitude. Let us run with resilience, the race marked out for us. The race marked out for us. And so we want to deal with our past. We want to get beyond our past. Okay? And so how do we do that? Two things, all right? We've talked about this before. We have to acknowledge and address the past. I've got to acknowledge the past. I've got to say, you know what? This is part of my past. And because that which I don't address, or excuse me, that which I don't acknowledge, I will never address. And so we got to be able to do that. And this is so huge. Because what we have to realize is a significant part of who we are and what we do and how we relate to one another has been influenced by our life experiences, whether it's growing up in the home in which we did, or whether it's the person that we married, or whether it's the world in which we live in. And here's what they say. Here's what psychologists will say. The first 10 years of a person's life is just huge. This is why we invest in our family life. This is why we invest in the rainforest and we invest in velocity. Because those first 10 years are so impressionable. And they just say that there's building blocks, okay, that happens in those first 10 years that you and I, okay, unless we're very, very, very intentional about, will never shake. Because they may have been the right building blocks, but they may have been put in the wrong place. But then also they may just be the wrong building blocks. And so if they were the wrong building blocks or if they were placed in the wrong way, what happens is we have to deal with them. Because here's what I want you to know. We learn how to receive and give love in the first 10 years of our life. Think of that. We learn how to receive and give love in the first 10 years of our life. And the ways in which we feel affection and tenderness from a mom or a dad, the way in which we watch our parents interact with one another, become the model on how we relate to other people. Let me tell you the reason why you relate to people the way in which you relate to people is because that's how you did it in your home. And so, you know what? In my home, we just yelled at everybody. We just screamed and we just swore and cussed and then we got over it. Well, then that's probably how you treat other people. Or we did the silent treatment. We never dealt with the issue. Then that's probably how you relate to people. Unless you're intentional. Unless you have repaired your past. And so we learn how to communicate in those first 10 years. How to talk, how to listen. We learn work habits. Whether work will be a challenge or whether work will be something to be avoided. Whether it will be done with excellence or whether it will be done poorly. We learn the basic view of God in those first 10 years. Is he generous or is he stingy? Is he fun or is he a killjoy? And so what happens is we have to acknowledge and address the past. We have to be able to do this. Now, I want to tell you about an incredible man in the Bible. His name is David. Matter of fact, It is said of him that he had a heart after God. He had a heart after God. But David, if you read about him, he grew up in a very, very dysfunctional family. Matter of fact, he himself birthed a very dysfunctional family. I mean, when you have a half-brother raping a half-sister, that's pretty dysfunctional. When you have a son who is trying to pull off a coup attempt against you, I would say that's pretty dysfunctional. And David was influenced by his immediate family, which I personally believe, affected him in a tremendous way and even caused him to have an inaccurate view of God. You say, how do you know that, Dwight? Well, if you'll go to 1 Samuel, you can read David's story there. And you say, well, David was a king. You're right. He was the second king in all of Israel. But go read that story. Samuel tells Jesse, who happens to be David's dad, hey, I'm going to be dropping by your place. And what I'd like is I'd like for you to have all your sons there. And so Jesse comes because he's looking for the next king in all of Israel. He's looking for the next king in all of Israel. And so he goes down the list and he says, nope, no, 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 no. Jesse, are you sure these are all your sons? I ask you to have all your sons here. He said, no, 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 we got one more. He's over the hill watching the sheep. You know, he's kind of the run of the litter. I didn't think that he was important enough to have here because surely you won't want him. And Samuel says, go get him. And David walks through those tents and Samuel says, he's the one. Get the oil. We're going to anoint him as king. And I personally believe that David grew up probably feeling betrayed, unloved, not special. Because if you read the story about him going and kill Goliath, guess what? His brothers make fun of him. So he had a lot of strikes, I believe, against him. And when you begin to read the book of Psalms and some of his writings, you see this come out. Look at what he says here. Here's what he says. This is David talking. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Then listen to these words. They're powerful. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. You ever heard somebody say this? You're not going to get angry with me, are you? Because my daddy used to, and he'd beat me. You're not going to reject me, are you? Because my mom and dad rejected me. You're not going to betray me. You're not going to leave me, are you? You're not going to forsake me, are you? Because I felt that. That's what he's saying here, folks. And then he goes on to say this. He says, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Whew. Wow. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, you know what? There were some things that were happening in my life when I was a kid that has dramatically impacted me. And I'd like to get beyond it. And I know that you're the answer, God. Because I know that you love me. I know that you care about me. And though my mom and dad have forsaken me, maybe they weren't even able to give me what I needed. Maybe it was unconscious. Maybe it was intentional. I don't know. But I know you will never, ever, ever forsake me. I know I can count on you. And so we see here a person who is called a man after God's own heart, that he had his own past that he had to get past. And so do I. Can I help you? So do you. So let me give you some questions, and then I'm going to give you some help, okay? Here's three questions that I think that we need to ask. I've asked myself these questions, okay? Here's the first one. Who are the key people who have influenced me for good or bad? Do you know who they are? Who Who's the top three people that have influenced you for good? Who's the top three people who've influenced you for bad? I mean, maybe it was the first person that introduced you to pornography or a drink or a smoke or sex, and it's impacted your life. I don't know. Or maybe it was the person who introduced you to Christ. I don't know. Who are those people? How about this one right here? What are the major positive or negative ideas that have guided me? See, we all have major ideas in life. Our view of God, our view of people, our view of women. Y'all right on that one? What are those major positive ideas that's guided you, the negative ones? That it's that filter that when stuff happens to you, you filter everything because this is what guides me. Women can't be trusted, or men can't be trusted, or God can't be trusted. I don't know what it is. All I know is that all of us have to battle those positive and negative major ideas that when something goes wrong in your life or in my life, we filter it through and we come out with an answer. How about this one right here? What are the critical events that have changed me? It's made me happy, made me sad. What are those? Both those that have made me, you know, one of mine that's made me sad is, and I've told you this before, I mean, I can still remember it today. Somebody coming to our classroom and knocking on the door. Please send Dwight. And I was going to go to the dummies class because I had problems speaking and saying words. I've had to deal with that. Still have to deal with it today. Sad time in my life. I've had happy times too. But life is filled with happy times and sad times. I just need to identify them because they're impacting me in one way or another. And I need to make sure that I go back. I've told you before, you know, I've always struggled with the thought that I was dumb. And I've had to go back and repair that over and over and over and over again. No, you're not dumb, Dwight. There's just some things that you know more about than others. There's some words that you can say easier than others. Are you all okay? See, I have to acknowledge my past, and then I have to address it if I'm going to be able to have a can't stop, won't stop attitude. And so how do I do this? How do I repair this past? Let me give you four things, okay, that will help you. These have helped me, okay? Here's the first one. You have to practice repentance. You have to practice repentance. And this is huge, okay? This is huge. Now, what you need to realize is the word repentance hasn't always been a religious word, okay? Before it ever became a religious word, the Greeks would use the word repentance, meaning to change one's mind or to alter one's direction. Change one's mind or alter one's direction. And here's what would happen, okay? You know, they would travel, but they had few roads. And so basically, they had no signs and they had no maps. And so guess what would happen? They would get lost. And when they would get lost, what they would have to do is they would have to announce, I'm lost. And what that would mean is that they would have to go back and retrace their steps until they would find the right road to get on. Y'all okay on that one? They would have to alter their direction. They'd have to change the way in which they were thinking. That's repentance. And that's what it means. To practice repentance. God, I need to alter my life. I need to alter the direction that it is. I didn't respond well there. I didn't do what was right there. I wasn't kind. I wasn't whatever. And so we have to be able to practice forgiveness if we're going, or excuse me, we're going to have to practice repentance of what I've done. And you say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. Well, let's look what John says. John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is what? The truth is not in us. Hear me on this, okay? You will never stop. You will never stop defeating yourself until you stop deceiving yourself. And to sin means to miss the mark. Anybody miss the mark this past week? I did. I missed it. I had to change my way in which I was thinking about something. I've had to alter some direction in my life because I don't get it right. And so what happens is I'm constantly in the mode of repairing. Of repairing. And see, what happens is, if I don't practice repentance, then what happens is the weight just wears me down. David said this. He said, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed means fortunate. It means to be envied. It means to be happy, okay? All right, he goes on to say this. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Doesn't sound like somebody who has resilience there, right? Sounds like somebody who's worn out, who can't go on. Life is just too heavy for me. He goes on to say this. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. Then I repented. I altered my way. I altered my direction. I changed my mind about what I was thinking and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave what? The guilt of my sin. Guilt is a burden you and I were never meant to carry. It will sap the strength out of you. And so what we need to do is practice repentance. God, I got it wrong. What keeps you and I from repenting? Let me tell you, arrogance. Arrogance. We want to defend ourselves. Confession means that I agree with God with what he said and what he saw in my life. That's what it is. And I can never repent as long as I'm arrogant. And so practicing repentance is the way in which I repair the past. And I need to do that. Practice it. It's not a one-time thing. It's a constant thing, okay? Here's the second one, and that is this. Be quick to forgive completely. How are we going to repair our past? We got to be quick to forgive completely. Look at what Peter says here. This is an encounter with Peter. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Peter's saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to be real generous, okay? Real generous. Is it seven times? Hoping that Jesus would go, ka-ching, you're right, Pete, you're right, Pete, you're right, Pete. But look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. You know what he's saying to Pete? Here's what he's saying to Peter. Forgiveness has to be a lifestyle. It's going to have to be a way of life for you, Pete. We live in a broken world with broken people. And we don't get it right. We just don't get it right. And so what happens is if we're going to be able to repair the past, I've got to say, God, I got to repent of this. Maybe I've never fully repented of it. Because what happens is the reason why you have self-defeating habits many times, and I have them, is because I haven't fully repented. I haven't changed my mind about that. And it's the same way with forgiveness. I got to be quick to forgive. I got to be quick to forgive. The past cannot be repaired unless Dwight practices repentance for my own sin and then be quick to forgive others who have sinned against me. Here's the third one. The third one is to overflow with gratitude. To overflow with gratitude. And we've talked about this. And gratitude is something that needs to be a part of my life and your life. And it's something that we need to be disciplined in. You see, what happens is every single day of your life, you can find reasons to complain. I would probably wager a bet that all of us here today, okay, and the day isn't even half over, we've already complained. I have. I mean, there are plenty of things for you and I to complain about. Why? Because we exist in a broken world. Life doesn't operate the way that it was meant. And family and friends and coworkers will wrong you. And so what happens is we have to be able to be willing to forgive quickly and completely, but we have to also, you might say, Dwight, are you saying that I have permission to complain? Because you're saying we live in a broken world. No, I'm saying that you have to acknowledge that so that you can look for the good that is in the world. You can look the good in your family. You can look for the good in your friends. You can look for the good in your coworkers. You ready for this? You can look for the good that was in your father, even though he disappointed you. You know why? Because you're a whole lot like him. You don't want to hear that, but that's true. You can look for the good in your mother. You know why? Because you're a whole lot like her. And that's what gratitude is. Gratitude is recognizing the good. Look what Paul writes. Paul writes this, For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. Because what happens is thanksgiving does not come natural to you and me. It just doesn't come natural to you and me. Do you know that the Jewish practice was every time they prayed, they would pray three times a day? Every time they prayed, they would list 15 things that they were thankful for? Because they knew it didn't come natural to them. This is why Paul writes this. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that takes discipline. But it's freeing. It's the way in which you and I lift the weight of our past so that we can have a can't stop, won't stop attitude. So here's my challenge for you. So what do you need to be grateful for? For your dad, for your mom, for your brother, for your sister, for your friends. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Let me give you this last one, and then I'm done. It's this right here. We need to squeeze the past for all of its wisdom. We need to squeeze the past for all of its wisdom. Here's what Paul writes in Ephesians. He says, be careful how you walk or how you live. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Now, how do you and I squeeze all of the wisdom out of the past? We ask a single question, and here's the question that we ask. In light of my past, in light of your past experience, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my past marriage, that was a really tragic divorce, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of that financial decision that I made that didn't turn out well, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of the relationship that I had with this person, and now it's blown up. What's the wise thing for me to do? See, you want to squeeze the wisdom. You want to squeeze out of the past all of the wisdom that you can get. You want to learn from it. Churchill said it like this. Churchill said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And if you look around, you know what? We repeat the same thing over and over again. And the way in which we can repair the past is to squeeze everything out of the past and get all of the wisdom that we possibly can and ask the hard question, why did this go wrong? But not only why did this go wrong, maybe why did this go right? And to be able to do that. You see, Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, you're asking God, God, in light of my past experience, in light of what happened, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And so, we've got to get past the past if we're going to develop a can't stop, won't stop attitude. And here's what I want you to know, and I want us to realize today. You're going to do one of three things with your past. You're going to blow it off and live only in the present. and hope things just get better. You know, the past is the past. I'm never going to be able to deal with that. And you're going to hope that your future is better, and it won't be. Or you're going to accept it and get used to it. It's like having a low-grade fever. And you're just going to say, well, this is just the way life is. Or, you know what you're going to do? You're going to acknowledge it and address it. And repair it. And develop a can't stop, won't stop attitude. This is what Isaiah is talking about when he says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Acknowledge it, address it, and then move on. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Wow. That's what he wants to do for me. That's what he wants to do for you. He wants to do something new in your life. He wants you to get past the past. So that what happens is you can thrive in the future. I close with this. If you never heal from what hurt you, you will bleed on people that didn't cut you. Does that hit you like it hits me? If you never heal from what hurt you, you will bleed on people that didn't cut you. I don't want that. I've bled on people before. Have you? I want to be able to repair the past so that I can thrive in the present and the future. I'm asking you to join me. Let's pray. God, we can't have a conversation like this without it disturbing and wrecking all of us. Because we all have a past. You don't want us to live there. But you don't want us to die there either. And so I pray today for myself that we would practice repentance, that we would not only practice repentance, but that we would be quick to forgive completely, that our lives would be characterized by gratitude, and that we would squeeze the past for all of its wisdom, and that we would run and run free. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.